expresses our mortal love. There are more candy and more flowers sent today than any other time because of people expressing mortal love. But you know what? As I thought about this, we can celebrate as a believer. We can celebrate each and every day we live because of a love that is eternal and made known to us through who Jesus is and what he did for us. The greatest, listen to me, the greatest message of love man can ever know is to embrace the greatest lover there has ever been, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. Tonight, as we look together in the book of Romans, the fifth chapter, I know that this is one of the broadest things we can talk about. It is one of the broadest topics within the Word of God because of what it says. And I shared with the Sunday school class this morning, at the turn of our century, the most quoted verse and the most memorized verse was John 3:16. For God so loved the world, so loved the world, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But now, the day in which we live, the most quoted verse is, judge not that you be not judged. You reckon why? Why? Have we deviated and got away from what God's love is all about as a church and as believers? Do we really understand what is and who is the greatest lover ever? See, when we come to know him, when we come to understand him and we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can understand that God sent a Valentine especially for you. I had a song and I have looked all evening. That was when one of the cantatas we did several years ago at Salem, and it had a song and that was the title of God Sent a Valentine Specially for You. Especially for you. God sent a Valentine's. But I couldn't find the music. I couldn't find the tape. I don't know where it's at. It ain't no telling. But anyhow, it's better that I might not sing anyhow. But in chapter 5 of Romans, Paul is relating a truth that we need to understand if we come to know and to understand what love is all about. And I'm talking about the kind of love that God wants us to know and to understand as he makes it plain to us. So would you stand for the reading of God's word and remain standing for prayer? In Romans, the fifth chapter, Paul stated these words, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience or endurance. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed because, listen to me, because the love of God is shed abroad where? In our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Look down in verse 12. We'll be covering it too. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, by death sin, so death passed on to all men, for that all have sinned. Back at verse 10. It says there, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his what? Life. Let's pray together. Father, we come to thank you and to praise you for the many, many ways that you demonstrate your love to us day by day. Your mercy that is continuous. Your mercy that your word tells us is new every morning. So as we arise out of our sleep at night, we thank you for the mercy that we know we can find and have because of who you are, dear God. And as we begin our daily work, we can realize and recognize your mercy is there with us and helps us in and through life situations. And your grace is always there working in our lives when we are in tune with you. And because of that, Lord, our life is to demonstrate your love, the very love of God to those we come in contact with. Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts, that you would just work and do that which only you can do. And Lord, that you would make us keenly aware of what we're about as your children, where we call you our Father. And Lord, tonight as we come, we pray above everything that as you speak to our hearts, that we will respond to you in faith. That means that we put it into action as we trust you with our very being. Lord, I pray tonight that you would just minister your will and your word in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Lord, for those that were mentioned tonight in the prayer rooms. You know each one, Lord, those that are going through the difficult and trying circumstances, the insurmountable odds that seem to be crushing in or falling in upon them. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would work in the circumstances and situations, and even those, Lord, that minister to them, give them what is needed, that they can be encouragers and help along this situation. Father, we just want to praise you and thank you as we come to worship you tonight. You said that as we come, we are to come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we look to you, Lord. We look to you that we may worship you the way we should. And I pray, oh Father, tonight that you'd just do whatever is needed and necessary in our life. And Father, I'm reminded of what the psalmist said. Whoso offereth praise, glorify God. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, he says, I will show the salvation of God. God, help us that we may look to you and we may be people of the salvation that you have entrusted, and we may show it and relate it to a lost and dying and doomed world. Lord, I pray tonight that you would be honored and glorified in this service. We commit ourselves to you. Ask you once again to take these feeble lips of clay and speak through them the unsearchable riches and the truth of your word. Lord, that we all may come to know and to understand your will and purpose for our life. For we ask it in Jesus' strong and precious and saving name, and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. The very love of God, which changes and transforms our lives, as we look at this and what Paul was saying. And by the way, I wanted you to read verse 8. I was jumping around there, but I want you to look at verse 8 also. It says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. Look what it says. What happened? Christ died for us. When we think about the love of God and the thing that God made possible for us to know of his love, there are some things that we need to understand as we look at it. First of all, we need to see the character of this love. The character of this love. And I kind of outlined this because of how it come out in the study as I was studying. First of all, we need to understand it is God's glorious love because it is an active love. That's what it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did something. He was active in the process of demonstrating his love. And what he did, he sent his son into the world so that we could see the very heart of himself as Jesus portrayed the love of God. He demonstrated the love of God. But its nature is to seek out the poor and the needy. The Bible tells us, if we study the Word of God, it tells us that Jesus, as he moved in Luke 19:10, it says, Jesus, he came for the purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. In the seeking and saving, he was demonstrating to those who are lost the very love of God, the very heart of God, if you please. Not only that, it's by nature, it seeks out the poor and the needy, but also it pours into the lap of poverty all the wealth of its possessions. And every ounce of what it possesses as God's love, it pours into the lap of of poverty. Because, see, what happens there, it speaks to all. It speaks to everyone where they are of their need to know the love of God. If there is something that is drastically needed in our society, in our world today, it is for individuals to know and really to come to grips with the love of God. If they could embrace and come to grips with the love of God, let me tell you something, it would change our world overnight. It would drastically change the world in which we live, because as we see that, it is an active love. See, this kind of love cannot remain inactive. It cannot remain inactive. In other words, as a child of God, when I receive Jesus Christ in my life, it does not lie there dormant, waiting one day to hatch out where I can go to heaven. But it's something that is portrayed and it's lived out every day, because as Brother Ibe brought out this morning, it is Jesus who lives and works through us to bring about that in our life as a child of God, as a Christian, if you please. What it does, it reveals itself. Look back at verse 8. But God commended, demonstrated, revealed, but God commended his love toward us, in that, look what it says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, it cannot hide and it will not run. It will not leave. Also, it overcomes every barrier and it shows itself visible. The study of Acts is a good example of that. As we go through the book of Acts, we see the love of God triumphing over every kind of barrier, every kind of thing that is put up before it. And we see how the love of God has triumphed in the book of Acts, because people who knew him, knew Jesus Christ, their lives were lived to the point that others seen and knew and recognized, as the scripture says, that they had been with who? Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, friend. This here mumbo jumbo stuff that they say, well, you can be a Christian and not know it, that's a bunch of, I don't know what you'd call it. But the thing about it is, a person, you cannot come into a new life experience without experiencing new life. There's absolutely no way. And that is exactly in opposition to the Word of God, because when we come into this new relationship, this new life, then we're to show and to depict that new life to a world in which we live. So it overcomes barriers, every barrier shows up. Turn to 1 John 4:10 just a moment. 1 John 4:10. Let's do a little Bible study, okay? 1 John 4:10. Look what it says there. It says, herein is love. Where? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and did what? He did what? Sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. For our sin. He sent his son. He was actively involved in your need and my need as a person. We had a need. God supplies that need. And when we come to know the reality of Jesus Christ in our life, then that need can be only met in and through him. That's why the scripture says, neither is there salvation, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. The must of salvation is the person of Jesus Christ, and him alone, there is no other way. Amen. So we see the character of this love. The second thing we see is the extent of its operation. It is not enough to see the evidence of his love, because that is not satisfying. It is to be, as it says in the scripture there, in our hearts. The love of God is to be in our hearts. In other words, our hearts are to be, it is the citadel of our soul, and it is the sanctuary of life. The sanctuary of life. When we understand the possibility and the probability of being the temple of God, and Paul talks about this, that our bodies are the temple, are the worship place of God. And when we understand that, that is the extent of the operation of this love, because, see, it purposefully pacifies the springs of our very being. I'll put that up there, pacify, yeah, the springs of our total being, I said, and that's exactly what it does. It purposefully pacifies and satisfies the springs of our being. But the term shed abroad means to fill and to flood, to fill up and to flood. So look at that, what it says there. The love of God is shed abroad, back to verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad where? In our hearts. In our hearts, just as a light of the sun is shed upon the earth, what does it do? As we think, as the sun comes up in the morning, the deepest, darkest night there can be, when the sun comes up, what does it do? Huh? It reveals things that we stumble over if we travel in the dark, does it not? If we try to move in the circumstances of the darkness, we will stumble because of those things. But the sunlight brings to bear in the mind where those things are. As it reveals, that's what the sun does. It reveals, just as that love shed upon our life reveals really who we belong to. What does it do? Not only that, it only not sheds upon the earth and it shows things, but it also turns barrenness into fruitfulness, because without the sun, there could nothing really grow. Nothing really grow. And let me tell you something else. We can say without the S-O-N, nothing vegetative would grow. But let me tell you something. Without the S-U-N, nothing can grow. But without the S-O-N, as a child of God, we will never grow either. Without letting the light of His divine being flood our soul, flood our total being. See, it turns that barrenness of our heart and our life into fruitfulness. I believe the Bible teaches us that. The fruit of the Spirit is first of all what? Galatians 5. Love. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit. We'll get into that in just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's a thought that come to my mind as I looked at this. If the love of God possesses us, we should take pleasure in loving those who are lost, listen to me, and make sacrifice to see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Should we not? Do whatever's necessary to help them to come to see and to come to know Jesus Christ. Love. As I looked and studied this, there are several places I found a statement similar to this. Love is the most practical thing on earth. Did you know that? Love is the most practical thing on earth. But the thing about it is the kind of love that Paul is talking about, is it just not just practical, but is it practiced today the way it should be? Whew, my, if there's one thing that is needed, I believe today, it is for the love of God to be seen to fallen mankind. To help them see their need to respond to Jesus Christ and their life to be transformed by the very power of Jesus Christ. Changed. Literally changed completely because of the saving work and the saving act of God within their life. Love is the most practical thing in the earth. I believe that's what Paul was trying to say there in 1 Corinthians 13. He said that, did he not? Talked about it, used words to define it, active words to define it. If you go there and look, there's 9 active verbs he used. Not passive, but active verbs as he used to describe it. And the thing about it is, the only means for a world that is lost and stooped in sin is to know the love of God, is for us to really live out what Paul was saying there. He closed out with These three, faith, hope, and love, but greatest of these is L-O-V-E, love, charity. I had a preacher one time preached in the first church I pastored. He was of a different denomination. They swapped it around. We swapped the fifth Sunday. They swapped around. The Baptist would go to his church, and the Baptist preacher would preach in his church. And then the next fifth Sunday, they'd come to the Baptist church, and his preacher would preach in our church. And after he preached the first time, I told him we wasn't having that anymore. Because he got up, he made this statement. He says, if Paul would say that today or write those words today, he would not say that the greatest of these is love. He would say the greatest of these is hope. Hope. No. But that wasn't the only thing. He also said that, you know, that, well, let's don't go there. Anyhow, when we understand what Paul is relating here, and we see that, then we see the third thing is the divine operation. Notice closely, I said divine operation because it has a divine operator. See, it is a divine one who makes it known and calls and causes it to be seen within us and through us to others. Who makes it known, a divine one. And whenever I understand what Paul is saying here, then it makes a change in my attitude. Look what he says, verse 5 again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? By what? The Holy Ghost, which is what? Given unto us. Given unto us. See, the divine one that makes it operative is the Holy Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, it is the Spirit's work to listen, to unveil the love of God to us and within us and through us, through the person of Jesus Christ. That is the operation of it, the Holy Spirit of God working out, making known, showing, relating the love of God. I don't have the power to do that. You don't have the power to do that. It is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost as He works in our life to bring it into fruition. Okay. As the Holy Ghost does this, He works in us. He unveils the love of God in us and Jesus Christ and creates that love within us. The first thing that He does, He takes the things of Christ, the things of Christ, and shows them to us. The things that are important, the things of Christ. What did Paul say in Philippians 2:5? He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, the thing about it is when we are desirous, and I don't know of a better word to use, of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we understand, as we study the Word of God, and we understand those things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the work of the Holy Spirit to make us keenly aware of those things and then to work them into the very fabric, if you listen to me, the very fabric of our being, so that this love of God can permeate our lives and work in and through us. See, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is given unto us. 5C, look what it says there again. The Holy Ghost is given to us, unto us, unto us. There's a twofold conclusion we can draw as we look at this passage of Scripture and what Paul is saying. The first thing is this, as we look at it. He is saying, if our hearts are to be filled with the love of God, the Holy Spirit must have His abode within our hearts and our lives, the very emotion of our being, the very center of our being. Folks, listen to me. There is the difference between, and this is the difference between trying and trusting. Talked to a feller just this past week. He said, well, I'm trying to live the Christian life. I thought to myself, brother, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You cannot keep trying to live the Christian life. What you have got to do, what every person has got to do, is simply trust the working effect of Jesus Christ within our lives. Brother, I'll be brought out this morning. I don't know how the Lord works, but He does work sometimes in mysterious ways. It is the working of God's power in the Holy Spirit through our lives to demonstrate and to literally trust Him, to live and to walk by faith and not by sight, as we learn to trust Jesus to demonstrate the love of God to a lost and dying world. I told you the story of Mr. Tom, Cates in the church where I was saved. And I mean, he was a person, he was a deacon, and you didn't know whether to say good morning or kiss my foot because his attitude was just that rotten. And I've run into some others since then as well. And I made up in my mind, I says, Lord, here I am, a new believer, and this man he's like a stumbling block in my path. Everywhere, just his attitude and his facial expression and everything just turned me off. And I said, Lord, I'm going to love him if it kills me. And you know what? It just about killed me to try to love him. But then I come to realize one day as I was reading in 1 John that it is this love of God that he places within our life, and we're to allow that love of God to work in and through our lives and to demonstrate that to others. Let me tell you something. It made all the difference in the world. Because, see, there are people that are unlovely and unlovable. Did you know that? Have you run into any of them? Just hang on, you will. And there'll be those that you want to try to love for Jesus, but you can't. But you let Him love them through you. That's what it's all about, is it not? Is allowing Him to love them through you. So, what is the difference? Trying and trusting. When we try to do it, that means that we are doing what we possibly can. But when we're trusting the Lord to do it, He can and He will do it. Turn with me to Galatians 5 just a moment in our closing. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians 5. Look at, ponder verse 6 just a moment. Verse 6 of chapter 5. Look what it says. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? Faith which worketh by love. I thought the scripture says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is he saying here? Look at it again. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything. In other words, you don't gain any favor by that. Nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ponder that for a little bit. And then, soak up verse 14. Look what it says there. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you love your neighbor like you love yourself? Do I love my neighbor like I love myself? I can say absolutely I do not. But that doesn't change the fact that I should, and I can, and I need to. Let that soak up for just a little while. Then meditate on verse 22. Look what it says there. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit, the first activity of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life. And I believe Paul put these in the progressive order in which they are accumulated in our life. He says, and the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love. But then it says joy. In other words, you cannot have joy until love is a present reality. And you cannot have peace unless love and joy is a present reality. And you cannot have long-suffering unless love, joy, and peace is a present reality. And you cannot have or be gentle unless these four others are there. We can go all the way through that. Then it comes to faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no what? No law, nothing to condemn, nothing to control. In other words, these are gifts of the Spirit, are the fruit of the Spirit, and they are to work in our lives. Work in our lives. Listen to me. The promise of salvation came through the person of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. But the performance of salvation comes through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. Turn back to Romans, the 8th chapter, just a moment. Romans, the 8th chapter, in closing. I said we'd close with that. We want to close with this one, okay? Many of you know verse 28 by heart, because it says there in Romans 8:28, it says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." But look at verse 29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us some things? All things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the," what? "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that," what? "Loved us." Paul says, "I am totally convinced, for I am persuaded, totally irrevocably convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from" what? "The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what does that say? If Jesus Christ lives in my heart, the very love of God is a present reality in my heart. And it is operative through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God as I yield myself. And this is where the rubber hits the road. As I yield myself to him day by day, moment by moment, to be used as he sees fit. So what can we say tonight? This love that God has for you and for me, the greatness of this love is yet to be seen. Did you know that? The depth of this love is yet to be seen, because it is a progressive working in our hearts and our lives day by day as we yield, listen to me, as we yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who is, by the way, the very epitome of God's love, the very demonstration of God's love, the very act and action of God's love is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. I do not know your heart tonight, but I know one thing: if you do not know the love of God through Jesus Christ, life simply is not worth living. Did you know that? The things that's going on in our world today, it is not worth the fight and the bother. But thanks be unto God, who made known to us that unspeakable gift, that we can share and relate him to a world that stands in need. God help us to do that. Let's pray together. Father, tonight we are so indebted to you for the love that you've made known to us. Going beyond all the realms of mortal love, this is a